Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, I asked Alex to sing that. We were at our Thursday morning Bible study, and I don't know, just that particular song just welled up. You know how that happens sometimes? And we had Janet and I, of course, you know, had heard Andre Crouch back when he was still touring and doing things. You know, I think we saw him at the, huh?
You know, we can't hear you yet, say, because you're not recording yet.
Yeah, I'm recording. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? No, there's no volume. There's no amplification.
The AC is like thunderous.
Oh, is it? Okay, I'll just speak up. All right. I don't think you can do that.
No, I
did. Oh, man. Well, thank you for that. You just did. You just did. All right, but anyway, so that song just came to me. Janet and I had probably heard Andre Crouch. I probably heard him at the Bronco Bowl, you know, when Larry Lee was having concerts over there back in the 70s, actually. And so praise the Lord when Alex was just a little feller. Amen. Praise the Lord. And just that song just came up, you know, because, and, you know, I don't know, you know, God brings things to you, you know, but just to remind me that the scripture is true and a testimony is true. You know, a testimony is true because it's your testimony. You know, you go, I don't have any testimony. My testimony's not that great. No, your testimony's awesome. Your testimony's awesome. And it shows that God is real. God's real to a person. God's real to an individual. Amen. God's real to Cynthia. God's real to Raul. You know, and He's real to Karen. And just people who are dramatically transformed by the Word of God, by God coming in. I mean, Chad is transformed dramatically. God loves Chad. God loves Jack. God loves Dan, Alex, David, Janet. Every one of us has a testimony. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I've learned to depend upon His Word. I've learned to depend upon His Word. That's the way, that's when that song, that part of the song came up. I thank Him for the mountains. I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him, you know, the storms He's brought me through, because in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. Amen. That His troubles only come. You can think of other reasons troubles would come. It's because you deserved it. Or because you stuck your one foot in it, and then you got your other foot in it. But troubles only come to make me strong. The Scripture says, mm-hmm. says I'm going to be made strong. So we'll talk about that here in a minute in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, because He wants to show you something, that His grace is sufficient for you when you're not sufficient for you. Amen. Amen. I'm not sufficient for me. Say it. I'm not sufficient. Amen. Amen. So I thank Him for all of those things. I thank Him for all of those things. I'm rejoicing for all of those things. You know, the world doesn't do that. The world just complains about it. You know, I mean, somebody figures it out. Some psychiatrist or somebody, or psychologist, kind of one day kind of figures it out. You know what? I think I'm better since I went through all that. You know, I think I learned how to do something that way. Well, good. Praise the Lord. They finally figured out what God said in His Word. Amen. They finally figured out what God said in His Word. You know what? Why they figured out that something works? It's because it's true. And God already said it. Amen. God already said it because it's true. And just because you figured it out doesn't make it any less God. It doesn't make it any less God. God just allowed you to see that His Word is the right Word. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4. We've typically been about a chapter or more behind, but since I had to lay out a church last week in Fort Worth, we're caught up. I was having to kind of do Fort Worth, and then, because it took me twice as long to do them one day, one week. It just, you know how they are over there. And it took me twice as long to get through a chapter over there one time. And then you guys, poor things, y'all got, you know, they got ahead of you, you're behind or something. Anyway, so let's look at in Ephesians chapter 4. Of course, we're talking about Ephesians, we're talking about one of the most powerful epistles. Of course, at the beginning of the epistle, and I'll talk about this, is that epistles are not apostles. Epistles are letters. It's just a fancy word for letters. And it's a Greek derivation for a letter. And so the epistles, or the letters of Paul, start out generally with encouragement in the Scripture, in the Lord, and in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. Like usually, and especially in Ephesians and in Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, especially, the way that it's written, it begins with the first chapter or two, talking about how God has blessed you and filled you and empowered you and come to dwell on the inside of you. And Paul's praying for you that you receive all the fullness that God's provided for you. And that's what those things are about, is to get you wound up and get you filled up with the knowledge of God. So he wants to get you filled up with the knowledge of God. But most people begin to preach out of the middle of the book. And they preach it from the therefore. Therefore, do this. Do this right, do that right. They kind of skip the first part. They kind of separate it and kind of make, well, this is one teaching and here's another teaching. No, the first teaching, it's a letter, remember. It's a letter. Read the whole thing. You know, you don't read the first part and go, oh, that was good. And then you go off and throw it away, put it away, and then you start reading in the middle. You know, you forgot what he said at the beginning. The first part applies to the second part. The first part, which says you're filled with all the fullness of God, therefore, in the middle, do this, this, and this. Well, what's going to happen is this, this, and this is going to happen. You're going to love your neighbor. You're going to be filled with all the joy of the Lord. You're going to be bringing the righteousness and peace and joy everywhere you go. All right? So, I mean, so you have to know what the source is to be able to continue in what God says is going to happen next. Because we know that none of this is done by me. None of this is done from my own juice, from my own power, from my own insides, but it's only done as I know the truth. You shall know the
truth,
and the truth shall make you free. The truth will do something. Amen? The truth will actually do something. I believe that because God said it. And whether I believed it or not, it wouldn't help. Amen. It helps me.
Amen.
It helps me when I believe it. You know, some of you, you've heard the thing, you know, God, you know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, actually, you can skip the middle one. You know, God said it, that settles it. But I, in believing it, I bring it, I receive what he says to me. I receive what he says to me. So over here in Ephesians chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, okay, he's a prisoner, right now he's a prisoner, exhort you to get me out. Send money. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say write your congressman. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, cry out to you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That you, my whole heart's desire, Paul, the apostle, who brought you into the kingdom of God, he birthed you as a father, and people who love you, your pastors, love you and desire that you would follow after the Lord in a way that you're walking worthy of the kingdom of God. Now, what does it mean to walk worthy of the kingdom of God? Straighten up, fly right? Is that what that means? No, let's look at something here. I want you to look over at Romans chapter 8 real quickly. Now, if you do remember part of Romans chapter 7, where Paul is saying, you know, the things that I want to do, I can't do, and the things that I can't do are the things I want to do. And, oh, dear God, who's going to help me? And then he says, I thank my God through my Lord Jesus Christ. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He thanks God for serving the law of sin? No. Again, what did I say these are? These are letters. I know they got chapters in them, but just keep reading. Amen? Yeah, just because the chapter quits, you don't quit till tomorrow. You know, you go. You, if there's the end of a thought there, you want to go ahead and pick up. If that's a cliffhanger, if that's a cliffhanger, go on and read to the next chapter. Cheat. Well, it said I'm only supposed to read that chapter today. No, go ahead and cheat. Read on. Read ahead. He says, so with my mind I serve the law of God, my renewed mind, and with the flesh the law of sin. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Listen. Who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, looking here, he says, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Boom. Are you in Christ Jesus? Yes, I am. If not, we'll just pray right now that you'll get in Christ Jesus right this minute. That you believe that He died on that, just like we read on this Apostles' Creed, that He died for your sin. And He rose again for your justification, and you can receive Him by faith right now. So, Jesus, thank You. I receive You by faith, Your sacrifice. All of my sins are forgiven, and I'm redeemed by Your blood, and I'm part of the family of God. Amen. So now you're in Christ Jesus. Everybody say, I am in Christ Jesus. There's now no condemnation to you, because you are walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You've gone from walking in the flesh to walking in the Spirit. By me looking at you, by evidentially, if that's a word, by the promise of God. By the promise of God. You are in Christ Jesus and you now walk in the Spirit. Now, in your mind, if you were to walk according to the flesh, you wouldn't know that you were not condemned. You'd think you were, huh? You'd think you were. If you did not walk in accordance with the promise, you'd think you were condemned, because you're walking according to the flesh. You're walking according to, what is walking according to the flesh? Looking at yourself, looking at your ability, looking at your strength. But now I could take you all the way back to chapter 1 of this thing, and chapter 1 of verse of Ephesians, and you probably forgot everything that he told you. That's your assignment for this week, is go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and read that. And find out what exactly God did when he birthed you after his own Spirit. He brought you into the kingdom of God. And he transformed you and he changed you. And you're changed. Say, I'm changed.
I'm changed.
Isn't that good to be changed? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's like a little baby. You just got changed. Woo! Feels good. Fresh. You know, I got a little grandson. You know, he likes to get changed. He's fresh, you know, afterwards. Don't you feel fresh? You know, you should refresh every day. You should get changed every morning, I think. Amen. Take a shower. Take a bath. Wash your hair, brush your teeth, get refreshed. Be refreshed in the kingdom, in God's word. Be refreshed in His promise. Well, you know, I think about all these people who never had a Bible. You know, they didn't have a Bible for years until 1500 in the press. Who had the Bible? It was chained to a handwritten Bible was chained to the post about that size. The post that Chad's sitting in front of. There were posts in the church that big, holding the church up. You know. And there was a Bible chained to it, just like Chad. Looks like Chad, the Bible would be just like Chad, chained to that post right there. And that's where you had to come. But you weren't allowed to look at it, and you couldn't read it anyway because you couldn't read Latin. Because you weren't a priest, and you weren't trained at the cemetery. You couldn't read that Bible. So you didn't even know what it said. What do you do? What do you do? And that was until 500 years ago. That's 1,500 years of church. 1,500 years of church. People didn't have a Bible like you and I do. You want to see something fun? There you go. Now I lost it. Look at that. There's a Bible on there. Yeah, how many Bibles I got on there? About 10. About 10 Bibles on this little phone. On this little electronic device. But, you know, it is kind of worthless if the battery runs out. So, there's always a problem. We've always got problems in this world. Amen. But this book here, this one I've got here, is the one I'm looking at here on this podium is in print, and I can take it with me, and I could open it anywhere I want to go, you know, and take it with me, and I could read it all the time. Well, that's only 500-year technology. Did you know that's technology? That's 500-year technology. That was technology back in the day. And they had, and people all of a sudden could get these. And they could get them. And when Martin Luther translated it, he translated it out of the Greek into, and he looked at the Vulgate, which is the Latin, but it translated into the German language and created the modern German language. Martin Luther created the modern German language by writing the Bible, translating the Bible into that German language. I don't know what happened to the Germans later on, but they had the word. They were the first ones to have the Word of God. And of course, you had some guys in England, Tyndale and Wycliffe, and those guys who were working on it back, you know, back in their day. They were working on their own translation out of the Greek into the, you know, the New Testament and of the Word of God into English. And so, all of these things. The point being is that nobody had the Bible for the first 1,500 years. How did they do it? How did they live a Christian life? How did they live a Christian life without the Bible?
Communicating with God.
Communicating with God? Has that happened to you?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that's happened to her. Praise the Lord. He's hearing. So God, He's really out there. He's not just this Bible. So the kingdom of God is not just this Bible. The kingdom of God. Now, He gave us His Word through men and through prophets and teachers. And He gave us that Word. But God speaks to you by His Holy Spirit. And once we read, like for instance, Ephesians chapter 1, it's telling us all of these things that He's done. God will confirm it in your heart. I want you to hear this today. Is that God, though you have the Word of God and the Bible, and you should be reading it, because it's there and because it's available to you to be able to receive all of these things. But what's powerful is that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you, and you should expect Him to talk to you. In fact, that's what this word says. This word says the Holy Spirit's going to talk to you. He's going to speak to you. And He's going to show you things to come. Jesus said it. You remember where He said over there in John chapter 14? He's going to show you things to come. Of course, you know, those guys, you know, they were like, well, we don't want a Holy Ghost. We don't want any kind of ghost. We just want you to stay around. Jesus, don't go anywhere. Well, I'm going to go away. Well, wait. We just got started. I mean, you're a young fella. You're only 30. You know, 33. You know, you can't be going anywhere. They said, no, this is going to be a good thing. You're going to like this. It's going to be better than sliced bread. It's going to be great. You're going to love this Holy Ghost. So, but what I'm telling you and sharing with you is that in Ephesians chapter 1, He's telling you all about all of the things that He has done for you, in you, through you, and is bringing these things to pass. Ephesians chapter 4, He's beginning to tell you how these things begin to become evident in your life. All right? So I wanted to look at... we're in Ephesians chapter 4, everybody. Just barely getting started with it. And then we looked quickly at Romans chapter 8, which tells you there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How do we walk worthy? How do we walk worthy? He says, Ephesians chapter 4 says, walk worthy. I beseech you, walk worthy of the calling wherewith you've been called. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you realize that there's no condemnation to you. Because, that's true. If you'll walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Walk according to your heart and not according to your brains. Walk according to what God says, not according to what you says. Walk according to what God says, not according to what you see and all the problems and all the troubles. Mm-hmm. And all the, you know, we have a lot of troubles here in this world right now. A lot of us would say there's a lot more troubles just in the last week. Amen. Some of us realize there's been troubles for a long time, and you couldn't depend on anybody. Amen. How many know you can't depend upon man?
Amen.
Praise the Lord, you can't depend upon the Constitution. The Constitution was written by men, and if men wrote it, they'll run over it, and that's what they're doing. Praise God. We're thankful for that because we believe that God had the hand in creating this government, creating this nation. We're thankful for it. God's done great, mighty things through this nation with respect to sharing the gospel all over the world and being able to give liberty and freedom to people all across the country. People have been transformed. Lives have been transformed. Things have changed for the better all over the world. People are choosing their own leaders because of this country. People are choosing their own leaders in nations that they'd never chosen before. I don't know if y'all remember the 90s when the Berlin Wall fell and then everything else, all the communist governments in the Eastern Bloc of Europe began to fall, and we began to see governments come in and begin to elect their own leaders. God says you should be able to elect your own leaders. You choose your own leaders. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. They chose their own king. They chose their own king. Remember, they chose Saul. Great choice. You know, they wanted a king. You want to be like everybody else. Not so great a choice. Why don't we just be under God? You know what? If you'll be under God, I think you'll be in great shape. You know, you don't need another level of leadership. God didn't have another level of leadership. He just had you all under God. Amen? You know, it's good for you to be under God. Why don't you just not be under leadership except for God? How's that? Let's just be under God. How do you walk worthy? How do you walk worthy? Be under God. Let's just be under God. I think that'd be the best thing, to be under God. You know, I think he thinks that's the best thing. All right? So let's look over here at Ephesians chapter 4. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you would walk worthy. Walking worthy doesn't mean look good, comb your hair, straighten up, fly right, and be sweet. Walking worthy is what I read out of Romans 8, which is you be under no condemnation and walk according to the Spirit. Look at Him and not looking at you. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, we'll talk about it later. So, I beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation, of the occupation wherewith you have been called. That occupation or that vocation is walking in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Walking in the Spirit. And not according to the flesh. And what does it look like? It's not what you perform and not what you make happen and what you're making do, but he is what he's doing. I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. That's just what it looks like. That's like over in the fruit of the Spirit, over in Galatians chapter 5, where he says love, joy, peace. It looks like this. We had the fruit of the Spirit, which looks like this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control. All of these things. But on the other hand, you had the fruit of the flesh. The manifestation of the fruit of the flesh, which is all the sins. Lasciviousness, greed, ugliness, meanness, you know, all of the things that we usually see. People acting like when you cross them. Amen. Amen. But you, here's what you look like. And it's not something you're working up. Oh, golly, man, I got to behave and be nice to that person. No, it becomes your nature. As you're worshiping the Lord and walking in His presence, these are the things that become that. When Jesus showed up, did He have to kind of muscle down His flesh? No. It seems like I do. Man, it seems like my job's a lot harder. I got to muscle down the flesh. You know, Jesus didn't come so you could muscle down the flesh, huh? Hey, Jesus didn't come so you had. Okay, now I'm Jesus and I have no sin nature, and it's easy for me. But you guys, you got to work on this. You got to work this thing out. You know, He said it right there in the Bible. Work this out with fear and trembling. And over there in like we read in Romans chapter 7, where He says, you know, I'm struggling with all this stuff. you know. But the fact is that Ephesians chapter 1 through 3, he tells you what he's given you. He's given you all of these things. We'll look at it for a second. I'm not going to read it all. If I were to read Ephesians 1:4, it says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory, of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, the riches of his grace, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both things are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. He's doing these things. He's already performed them and completed them on the inside of you. Amen. He's already completed these things on the inside of me. Amen. Now he says, with all, walking worthy, here's what it looks like: all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another in love, is that you? Making room for somebody to mess up? Forbearing means putting up with one another in love. Putting up with one another in love. That's why he created marriage. Amen. Put up with one another in love. Amen. Endeavoring to keep the... It's still talking about marriage. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Well, I was talking about everybody, but marriage is a big thing. All right? It's a good example. It's a holy crucible. Amen. That means it gets hot and bumpy. All right? Endeavoring to keep the unity and the Spirit in the bond of peace. So that's what he's saying, is that it's not to, when he says endeavoring, it's not a pressure to perform, but it is a pressing on, press in. Press in to follow after what God's already provided. Amen? Endeavoring. Step on into it. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So he's doing that on the inside of you. He's saying, step on in. When the storm is going, step out onto the water. When the storm is going, don't be afraid to step out on the water.
Amen.
Amen? Because I've got you covered. You're with me, I'm with you. He's with you. So if there's trouble, don't be afraid that you're going to fall into the flesh. A lot of people are afraid they're going to fall into the flesh. Don't be afraid you're going to fall into the flesh. When there's trouble, know that you're walking in total peace. Jesus, when he came walking to them on the water, was at total peace. Amen? Because he knew who he was. He knew that he was under no condemnation because he was walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. But now Peter, he had a little difficulty with that because he was new at it. He was looking at Jesus, and that was great. He worked out. That worked great. In fact, he was looking at Jesus so much, he stepped out of that boat. He endeavored. That's a real endeavor. He purposed in himself to step out onto that stormy water, but because he was looking at Jesus, he had all confidence that Jesus got him. Amen. Jesus got him. Perfect. But when he began to see the wind boisterous, when he began to see the storm and the waves, and he knew about waves, he was a fisherman. He'd seen storms before. He'd seen problems before. He'd seen problems up close before, just like those. And he began to look around And what he knew in his mind began to get his attention. And then he began to what? Sink. He began to sink. But you know what? He cried out, "Jesus, save me." And you know what? They did. He did. Jesus saved him right there. So no matter what the circumstance was, even when your mind says, "Okay, I'm condemned. Okay, I'm no longer worthy. I'm just not. I can't walk worthy of it." Because we have a lie that's being taught to us, is that God's up against us and he wants us to perform so that he can check us off his list or throw us out of the boat. No. God always wants you to be completely at rest in his presence, and he loves to be able to use you to speak the truth to somebody else. Amen. That's it. That's what he's wanted. That's why you're still here. That's why you're not in heaven yet. You're still here because you're an evangelist. You're here because you're a minister of the gospel. Amen. Now he talks about this in a little bit. All right. So endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3, here's 4:4. Now, he's going to describe to you how we exist as a body. There is one body and one Spirit, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond. The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. How do you do that? He says, there is one body. So you got to know these things. These are the things you have to know. Yeah, it's changed. He is changing your mind. You used to be under communism, and now you're under liberty. He's changing the way that you think about how you're governed. Amen? You're not governed as a slave. You're governed as a free man, as a free person, free woman. All right? You're free. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. You're called in one body and one Spirit and one hope. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. No matter what, you can have all kinds of... The scripture says that some believe one way, some believe another way. As long as we are believing in the Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, and one faith and one baptism. One Lord, Jesus. One faith, hope in the gospel. One baptism, baptism into him. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. I won't make the joke that God's from Texas because he said you all. But he's in you all. He's in all of you. He's in all of you. By his Spirit. See, some folks should believe that God's God and you're you. And if you believe in your brains and that Jesus was, your Savior, then you'll get to go to heaven. And you better act right until you get there. Amen. No! They missed the part where the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. And if you're looking at him, he is changing you. Can you teach that to somebody, please? I mean, you guys all know that. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. Some of the choir doesn't know it. Some folks still have the problem of looking at themselves in the mirror and making a judgment. No, what you do is you look in the mirror and you, like James says, you look in the right mirror. You look in what God says you look like, what he sees. Verse 7, but to every one of us is given grace. I don't want to miss something here. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So everybody's got gifts. Everybody's got grace operating on the inside of you. I want you to look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. you know me, you know this is one of my favorites. If you go over, look over here at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse about 8. For this thing I besought the Lord, doesn't matter what it was. For this thing, you ever had a thing?
Yeah.
For this thing I asked the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said, no, just grin and bear it. No, he didn't say that. He said this. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. So I've been sitting here trying to get rid of this thing, you ever heard Jim talk about the tar baby? You know, you get one hand on it. What story is that from? Brer Rabbit? Yeah. It's a little thing full of tar. And it's like a little figure that's full of tar. And tar is very sticky. And so you stick one hand, oh my gosh, I got my hand on that. Well, you're trying to get it loose. And then you put your other hand on it and try to push it away. Well, now both hands are stuck. And then somebody tries to put their one foot on it. Well, I'll try this. And all of a sudden you got your both feet and both hands stuck to this thing. And you say, okay, where am I now? What am I going to do? You can't get free from it. So that's this thing. Yeah, I besought the Lord three times to get rid of this thing. I was trying myself and I couldn't get rid of it. And it wouldn't go, and it was just a burden and a problem. And he said here it was a burden. Amen. What is it called? The thorn. Paul's thorn. A thorn in the flesh. A trouble to Satan, of Satan to buffet me, that I should be exalted, lest I be exalted above measure. Now he said, with respect to my request, my third time request, to get rid of this thing, God, please, please, we've prayed these prayers before, right? Lord, get rid of this thing. Please get this off of me. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, this is an ideal situation. It seems to be an ideal situation for me to introduce this new concept that you may not have heard heretofore. My grace. My grace is more than enough for you. Sufficient. More than enough. My grace is sufficient for you. Everything that you're asking me to do, if my grace will accomplish that and more. That's an interesting concept. He's saying your need has already been supplied. I just didn't know I had it. Amen. I didn't know I had it. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength, and he'll even tell you, you know, how this works. In my strength is made perfect in weakness. So weakness actually makes his strength become bigger and more powerful and stronger. So when you are in trouble and trying to get rid of something that is afflicting you, that the devil put on you, and God let him do it for some reason, who knows why. So now you can begin to see that I've got something else that works better than anything you ever thought you had before. And I'm going to introduce you to it. It's my spirit. It's my grace through my spirit. And it's sufficient for you. Because when you are weak, now let's read it. He says, most gladly, therefore, Paul says, all of a sudden, so he's all of a sudden now relating how he has begun to walk in this. And he's begun to recognize how this works. Most gladly, therefore, will I... Gladly? Are you kidding me? Most glad... He didn't sound glad a verse ago. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Okay, just bring it on. You know, it's like over in the DC Comics where the guy figured out his superpower. You know, hey man, I could turn on fire, or I can freeze everything, or I can fly, or I can, you know, get shot 20 times, you know, and then bend the guy's gun. You know, you find that the power of God is working on the inside of you like you never thought it would work. It's because His Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, manifesting Himself. Amen. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, it becomes even worse. I mean, you ever heard somebody talking about how something just great just happened and you just either didn't believe it, or you didn't buy it, or you thought that, you know, well, this guy's just crazy anyway, you know. Especially Christians. Oh, man. You know. Especially sober Christians. Very sober Christians. They are, you know, yeah, well, brother, I don't think that works like that. You know, I think you just have to suffer. They didn't get out of verse 7, you know. That didn't get out of chapter 7 of Romans.
That might be a cynical.
You think so? Yeah. So he says, most gladly, therefore, I'll glory in my infirmities. And then verse 10 says, therefore, I take pleasure. Oh my, no! That's going to invite the devil. That would just invite the devil. He said this out loud. He put it in print. It's like making a post on Facebook. He put it in print. He said, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, in distresses. Oh my goodness. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. When I am weak, then am I strong. Janet says, why? How can you listen to all that stuff and not be depressed? And not be all just cast down? Because I got the rest of this on the inside of me. His grace is sufficient for me. I don't buy all of the stuff they're selling. Is it true? It probably is. Whatever. But I don't buy that it has to come and get itself all over me and me get weighed down by it. It's okay. I can do whatever I need to do, whenever I need to do it, because God is going to be able to take me through. And I'm not afraid of that guy being president, or the other guy not being president, or that guy being the speaker, that girl being the speaker, or that girl not being the speaker. It doesn't affect me. Yeah, just wait and watch, brother. You might be in prison like Paul. Well, praise God. If I'm in prison, I'm going to praise God that you're walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're walking. You know, have a prison ministry. Praise the Lord. Whistle in the dark. You know, just say that while they're walking you into the prison and beating you. Right? Amen. Because God is with you. He's in you. He's through you. Am I saying that all of that stuff couldn't happen? No, of course not. I just know whom I have believed. And that He is able to keep me. Keep that which He has committed unto me against that day. Against the day of His return. What He promised, He's going to perform. Janet wants to walk further and further behind me. Okay, brother, you just go on and listen to all that, believe all that. No, she's right with me. She's full of faith. Amen. She just doesn't like listening to it. Yeah, she should listen to Fox News. No, that's the one she doesn't like listening to. They're telling you how bad these people are. The other people will tell you how wonderful everything is. But people who are like you, who you think are telling you the truth, well, don't want to listen to that. Oh my gosh. Keep that, put that away, turn that off. You know, let's read the Bible. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4. Find out who we are, what we are. Amen. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at that. Praise the Lord. So to every one of us, verse 7, Ephesians 4, 7, but to everyone is given grace, that grace I just talked about. My grace is sufficient for you. Therefore will I rejoice in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may... Come on, power. Come on, Jesus. Rest on me. Come on. Yeah, I want more of it. Don't you want more of it?
Amen.
Boy, you're silly, Pastor. No. I want more of the power of God. I don't want to work hard to perform so that God will let me into heaven. I'm already in. Well, I saw you sin the other day. Well, you probably did. Now, I've got grace for that because God said, He said, if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive that sin and then everything else is all messed up. He'll just give me that for free. Amen. He'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Okay, verse 8. Wherefore He says, oh, I think you'd better listen. Okay, this is in Psalm 68. Okay. This is in Psalm 68. You'll find this interesting. Psalm 68, verse 18. He says, Thou hast ascended upon high, Thou hast led captivity captive, and received gifts for men. Well, that sounds very familiar. Psalm 68, 18 sounds very familiar to what we're fixing to read here in Ephesians 4, 8, doesn't it? Because he's quoting from Psalm 68. Paul is quoting from Psalm 68. Now, read the rest of it that's not in Ephesians. Yea, for the rebellious also,
amen,
that the Lord might dwell among them. Well, could be the Gentiles. That might be a help to you, wouldn't it? That'd be a help to you. We talked about that last time. Is that how the Israel is to be a light to the Gentiles? Remember that?
Yeah.
You remember how Simeon talked about that there in the temple when he saw Jesus? He's just an old man looking at a baby. But he knew the Scripture. He knew the Scripture. See, the only ones who knew the Scripture, remember we talked about the Bible showing up, you know, there in about 1500? The only ones who had the Bible, you know, readily available before that were the Jewish people. And they'd been dispersed for 1500 years, you know. So, I mean, they had their Bible under their coat, you know, wherever they happened to be. And the Old Testament was disseminated all throughout Europe and all throughout Asia during that period of time. God keeps His word. God keeps His word safe. Amen. And then He put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you so He could keep His word safe on the inside of you. See, He's revealing His word to you. He's revealing His promise to you on the inside of you. He said, I'm going to write my words on... Joel, he says, I'm going to write my words on their hearts. Amen? I'm going to write my word on your heart. All right now. So he says here in Ephesians chapter 4, back over in Psalm 68, you know, one of the most fun parts is, the very next verse is, after that, he says that the Lord might... that He's going to... gave gifts unto men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord might dwell among them. Verse 19 says, and blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits.
Yeah.
Y'all ever heard that one before?
Yeah.
I think you have. It is right there. When He gave gifts unto men, He said, blessed be the Lord,
amen,
who also loads us daily with benefits.
Hallelujah.
Amen. How cool is that? Okay, back over here in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, wherefore He says, verse 8, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive. That's what we're talking about. He gave gifts to men. Now, Paul says, He that ascended, what is it also that He first descended into the lower parts of the earth? So He came to the earth. And in fact, He went down and got the keys from the devil. He that descended is the same that ascended far above all things, that He might fill all things. And He gave some apostles. Here's the gifts. And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So He gave these gifts for the perfecting of the saints,
amen,
for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. What are those gifts for? For the perfecting of the saints. So the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are for the purpose of perfecting the saints for the work of the ministry. You guys get to do the ministry. Praise the Lord. And the edification of the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's not just my job, but once I give it to you, it's your job. Amen. So for the perfecting of the saints. Then you go out and perfect some other saints. For the perfecting of the saints. For what purpose? For the purpose of the work of the ministry.
Amen.
The work of the ministry. To minister to one another. To love one another. Bless one another. Fill one another up with joy and unspeakable and full of glory. For the edification of the body of Christ. I mean, if it was only up to pastors and teachers, man, that's a lot of work. I mean, you know, my job's not too bad, but some of these guys got 10,000 people. They got to hire some other folks. They got to train up some folks. They got to have some more ministry going on. So what we're doing is training up everybody who's got the Holy Spirit on the inside of them to minister of the gospel. Right. Amen. These are just offices that are directed by God to do. But everybody has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them and is sent out to declare the goodness in the gospel. Everything that's in Ephesians chapter 1, you're talking to people about it. You're telling somebody else about it. Because there's joy on your face. Amen. There's peace in your heart. And people don't even understand it. They go, what is wrong with you? How come you're not afraid? How come you're not sweating? How come you're not afraid of everything that's going on in this world? Because it's not my home. Abraham said that. I'm just a pilgrim. I'm just walking through. I'm just passing through this life because I'm looking for a city with foundations. And this isn't it.
Hallelujah.
Whose builder and maker is God. You know, over in Jeremiah 29:11, you know, where everybody's favorite scripture is, you know, I know the plans I have for you, blessing, and hope and a future. Yeah, I like that. Amen. I like that. Well, you know what comes before that, don't you? Have you read that part? That's verse 11. Well, chapter 29, verse 1 through 10. You need to read that part. That part says, don't listen to all these prophets who say we're going to get out. We're going to get out of Babylon in 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 10 years or 5, 15 years. Maybe we might get a get out of jail free card. He said, no. All of those guys, don't believe one of them. In fact, kick them out. I said, you're going to be there 70 years. So here's what I recommend. Plant gardens. Marry off your kids. Build houses. I think it says build businesses. In other words, wherever you find yourself, work and bless. And it says pray for the... You know what else he said? Oh, they were there in Babylon. He said, if you're in that city, he said, pray for the peace of that city.
Amen.
And its prosperity. Oh, we're in the devil's America. He says, pray for that city. Pray for this city. Pray for this nation. I can't pray for that man. Well, pray for him. He might get saved right there in the presidency. You never know. The last one did. I believe the last one got saved in that office. Hey, why not do that? I mean, if you're under that kind of pressure, you might turn to Jesus. What do you think? Amen. Hey, coming in these days, I think you need Jesus more than ever. I mean, there's bigger problems. Bigger things that are bigger than you. And the problem is you got the people who are bigger. You got people who are bigger than you. And they got voices that are bigger than you. You know? I mean, you got a guy who owns a media company who's shutting everybody down. You know, you don't need to say that. He didn't say that. Amen. Now, so he gave all of these gifts for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So these gifts just keep going. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all of them. We didn't lose any. We didn't lose them. We didn't forget about any of them. We didn't drop any of them. They're all in effect until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. that we hereafter be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. Men are sly. The sleight of men. In our day, we're thinking about, you know, the sleight of men. You think of gambling and some guy pulling extra cards out of his sleeve. Yeah, cheaters, people who cheat. That we hereafter be no more children. No, so you're not children. You're not just where you don't know what to believe. No. You have a relationship with the living Christ. You have a relationship with the living God. And you hear Him and you know Him. And part of what you know is to love your neighbor. Part of Him is to know that no matter, you even love your enemies. You're not destroying your enemies. You're loving your enemies. Amen? So if we have these gifts till we all come in the unity of the faith. So they're continuing. These gifts continue. And the gifts on the inside of you continue. Is that you are constantly speaking and ministering to somebody.
Amen.
To love them and to show them the love of God which passes knowledge. How can you love anybody, that person? How can you love them? Because God's in me.
Amen.
And I'm not going to destroy somebody for the sake of what their foolish idea is, so that they don't get the opportunity to hear from me the good news. They need the good news from me. If I'm in their presence, what I need to give them is not the latest political idea that I have, but I need to give them the good news of Jesus Christ. Because that's my purpose for being here. My purpose for being here doesn't mean you can't do the other, but what it means is when it comes down to the bottom line and you're alone with this person and you see them suffering, is that you tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that can dwell on the inside of them and give them peace. Amen. So, you know, I believe in Christians being engaged in all kinds of political rhetoric and stuff. But first of all, I believe that somebody needs to know Jesus. Those persons who are bound up with all of this stuff need to know the kingdom of God. So we're no more children, and we're not being sucked up and kicked around by all this stuff that's going on Facebook or on the news or whatever it is. And the cunning craftiness whereby men lie in wait to deceive. But what do? Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up. Well, guess what? You still get to grow up. But speaking if you're speaking the truth in love, you'll grow up. If you speak the truth in love, you'll grow up. Hallelujah. You'll grow up. You'll grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, from Him, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual work. This verse is awesome. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every single one of you has an effective, effectual part in this body of Christ. You know, Pastor Jim, not better than you. So-and-so who's got more money or who's got more influence is not better than you or more powerful or more effective than you, because you are where you are at the time you are and nobody else is there. God is using you immediately in your place and position. And if you're whining about being there, you're not seeing it. So I want you to just rest and enjoy right where you are. Just like Paul said over there, he said, I'll rejoice in my infirmities. Therefore, I'll take pleasure in infirmities and troubles and whatever you think you might be enduring. He's working it for the blessing of the kingdom. Amen. to the effectual working in the measure of every part makes increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. So the body, as it's increasing, is also edifying itself in love. And finally, as we're talking about that in particular, if we look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at the end, for as the body is one, verse 12, 1 Corinthians, for as the body is one, it has many members. And all the members of that body, of that one body being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit, remember he talked about that in the fourth chapter of Ephesians? For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member but many. And then skipping down, it says if you have a foot and a hand, and you can't say you don't need them. And if they all were one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. Verse 20. Verse 25 says that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And here in this chapter, it also repeats, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles and gifts of healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and I show you a more excellent way. God is working through the apostle to show us that to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called is to know that you are indwelt by the living Holy Spirit and by the finished work of Jesus. And every single day, no matter what it turns out that your actions may have been, whether you have failed in the natural or not, is that you endeavor to, by your faith, not by your effort, not by your outward, to brush your teeth a little harder or to do a few more push-ups in the name of the Lord, but to come back to the promise and to know that the promise belongs to me and that His grace is sufficient for me. Amen. Well, Father, we just love You.
Yes.
Thank You that You've done a mighty work for us. Thank You that the power of God is indwelling us and walking in and through us, and that as You are indwelling us and speaking to our hearts, that we're being transformed and changed. We see You clearer each day. We see ourselves as born of God and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and seeing and knowing that Your transformation is taking place, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, as You said in Isaiah chapter 28. Father, we just give You praise and thank You that we trust You, and we're not afraid of the events of the day. We're not afraid of COVID-19. We're not afraid of the new administration. We're not afraid of all of the things that are happening and going on. We thank You that You've indwelt us by Your Spirit so that we might pray, and pray effectually, because the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So, Father, we do. Our prayers avail much. They avail a lot. They're powerful. And, Father, they bring to pass what You want to bring to pass. So, Father, we just thank You that this little church right here is bigger than this, really, because we've got people everywhere. But But we thank you, Lord God, that you just have made us your sons and daughters. And Father, you have given us gifts to bring to pass the kingdom of God in this world, in our sphere of influence. And our sphere of influence and spheres affects other spheres of influence. People cross over all kinds of ways. And we thank you, Lord God, we're just doing what you told us to do. And we love you and give you praise. We trust you and give you thanks. We ask you to fill us again daily with the Holy Spirit. Father, let us not be discouraged in any way in the days coming, the days approaching. There will be opportunities to be discouraged. Well, I'll not be discouraged. I'll not be discouraged. David encouraged himself in the Lord. He said, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise," in Psalm 57. And the Apostle Paul says, "I'm not afraid of any of these things. None of these things moves me. All of these perils and all of these troubles, none of these things moves me." And as he said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, is that therefore I will most gladly rejoice in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me more and more and more and more. In the name of Jesus. Let's lift our hands and thank Him. Hallelujah.